Blog Talk Radio.
The First Epistle General of John. 1 John 1.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Praise the Lord, brothers. Praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is our new episode of Vicious Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to thank you all for taking the opportunity to listen in. If you received the text on your phone, or if you got the link on Facebook, thank you. Thank you for joining us. And I pray that something you said today in this episode that will be able to encourage you, strengthen you, and continue to push you into the things of God, that you might live a life glorifying to him and grow. Amen. And also we encourage you to share it with your other brothers, those in your circle of influence, those friends, those that you might be mentoring, or those brothers that you're connected with, that they might be blessed by our discussions. Amen. Also, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. That's the website where all our shows are archived. You can listen there and listen to the archived version of this show and all of our past shows. And if you're listening online, you can call in at 646-668-2636 and just press 1 on your keypad. You can join the program. Amen. I just want to share some information coming up for the brothers out there. January the 14th, save the date. We're putting in works in the planning for another men's gathering, a men's event, men's fellowship. That's January the 14th, 2023. So after the new year comes rolling in and we get all renewed and revived and hopefully the weather be fair, as long as we don't get a blizzard, we're going to move forward, and we're going to do a men's fellowship on January the 14th. Weeks to come, days to come, we'll have more information about that. You can text me or reach out on Facebook, and once we get the details, and we will be posting a flyer and information for that upcoming event. Amen? Amen. Well, let's begin. We're going to continue the discussion out of the book, Seven Friendships Every Man Needs. It's a book by Justin Erickson. We're going to finish up chapter 6, and we're going to dive a little bit into chapter 7 today. For those of the brothers who may have received that book, that distributed some of these books earlier in the year to some of the brothers in our circle, so I encourage you to continue to read it. And because for myself, it was very enlightening and edifying. It helps us think about some things of who we are in Christ and those men that we are connected with on purpose. Who are we on purpose in having our lives, and what kind of men we need in our lives? Amen. And those friends Amen. That can encourage us. Amen. Elder Mark, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm blessed, my brother. How about yourself?
Good. I'm wonderful, wonderful. All is well. All is well. I'm going to ask you to open this up with prayer, if you would, and then you could jump right on in wherever you see fit.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Father God, we come before you as humbly as we know how, Lord God, as we present ourselves, Lord God, as your willing and able servants. We say thank you for yet another day that you give us the opportunity to give you the praise, glory, and honor that you truly deserve, that our life, Lord God, would exude the very fruit of the Spirit as we desire, Lord God, to serve you each and every day. We thank you, Lord God, for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We thank you for your blessings, for your grace, for your mercy, and your favor. We thank you for everything that you pour upon us and the abundance that is you and you alone, Lord God. And we lift the hallelujah praise unto you, Lord God, for today, for this conversation, for this time to spend together as brothers to dive deeper into your word for understanding of you and thus a greater understanding of ourselves and the call upon our lives. As we go deeper into this conversation, the friends that we need, the friends that every man should have, we thank you, Lord God, for enlightenment, that words would be said, words would be shared, and that would all help us to grow, to change our mindsets, to go to a greater place in you, a greater understanding, a greater desire, and a position, Lord God, where we'll continue to grow in you each and every day. So we thank you, we honor you, and we bless you. We pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, amen,
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 amen. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. Diving back in, we're going to jump back into chapter 6. And I was taking some time to just read over this morning, kind of go back into it. And this particular chapter talks about a need of the lost seeker to hear you, needing that brother that's still in the world, needing that brother that still hasn't found salvation yet, still needing those people that are still living a life just like you were living, still needing those them in your life, because we're called to be an example, called to be a role model, called to be a brother, called to be someone that someone else can see God working on because somebody prayed for us, and we need to be in that same place. So it's just, I was just truly blessed once again, speaking for us, said by this book. Every time I've gone back into it and read a little more, it seems that I just see a little more enlightenment. And this chapter particularly talked about Zacchaeus and his interaction with Christ. And the part that I want to talk about is encourage them with the assurance of salvation when they repent. You know, we talk about our repentance and we talk about our salvation, but we have to understand that our salvation does not come without our repentance. We have to repent to God for our sins, for our old ways. We have to ask for forgiveness of that before salvation comes. We so often think that salvation comes and then we start to repent and then we start to ask for forgiveness for our old ways. You know, we have to step away from our old ways for salvation to come about. Repentance is the first thing that we have to do. So, Deke, I'm going to turn it back to you, sir. What do you have to say about that? Repentance is a requirement for salvation.
Amen, brother. Amen. I appreciate you. You know, you're right. You're right on the same page, because that's what I wanted to talk about today. Because, I won't say it like this. I believe all of us are in some way, in some form, are guilty of making the gospel too easy and too simple. Where we say we anoint people with salvation, but they haven't changed their lives. There's no fruit of repentance, as Jesus mentioned. So these are the things we have to do. As a friend, when we talk about holding people accountable, we're talking about judging their lives and what they're doing. This is part of it. And unless they understand, unless we are clear in what the gospel is requiring of us to come to faith, we have to be able to encourage those around us. Are they repentant of their old life? Do they have a renewed mind? All the things of Scripture that we repeat, we rehearse, we memorize, but do we activate and apply? And do we activate and apply it in our life so they might see a new way that we are different? Because with the friends we talk about, we have friends for years and years. If they don't see no real change in who we are, personality, the way we talk, the way we carry ourselves, the way we think, the way we think about the world, the culture, the things that's going on in the culture now, how we respond to those things. We might have thought one way before, but now that we're in the body of Christ and we're believers in Jesus Christ and we believe his word and what the word says about mankind, then we have what they call it now, it's a biblical worldview, because we believe the Bible. And that's what that true repentance is. Because even in the Bible, in the story of Zacchaeus, and even in the book, it talks about Zacchaeus, once he met Christ, and Christ said salvation has now come to his house, He started repenting. He turned around from being a taker, a manipulator. He was stealing money as a tax collector. He started to repay all the wrong he did for those around him. You know, and what he was doing more than God required, because even in God's law, in the Old Testament, God required those to pay back what they stole at 20%. But he was doing 100% and 400%. Because his heart was turned. He recognized his sin, his wrongdoing, and his heart was turned. And the example given here was that he made amends. Now, we know, I don't necessarily understand, you know, that that's not a call that we have, but we are called to be different. So even though he was a taker, and he was robbing people, but when he turned and came to Christ, he became a giver. He became a philanthropist. He became someone who gave to others out of his own and gave more than what was required. So he was giving out of his heart because of what Christ has done for him. And that's what we need to be in our lives. You know, we talk about repentance and being different. You know, so a lot of us were selfish. We worried about us, me, myself, and I, and we was worried about what we wanted to do. But now, do we consider others more than ourselves? Are we living humble lives? Are we living submissive lives? Are we living lives that we can love our brother as we love ourselves? Are we treating our family different? Are we treating our wives different? Even in the midst of our children, from our young children to our adult children, are we different? No matter what they do, how do we see them? Do we see them differently? Do we see them as a child of God, as a soul in need of salvation, as someone who needs to be loved and mentored? Do we see our brothers? The brother, again, we're talking here about our friends, our unsaved friends. Do we see our unsaved friends, and do we have a passion to see their lives to be transformed by the hope of Jesus Christ? And are we doing all to encourage them and then also to be examples, but examples of what Christ can do in their life, not so much examples to see how good, because sometimes we get to the point where we let our pride rise up just a little bit. Because we've been saved and they're not saved, so we got to be mindful of that also. But I do just want to say that we have to encourage them in their repentance, and that's something we're called to do anyway. When we talk about making disciples and mentoring people, that's what we have to do. We have to show them their salvation because they're changed. And sometimes, even if we think about it, and I'm gonna come back to you, bro. If we think about it, we have given our life to Christ. And sometimes we doubt our own salvation because it goes on in our heads, the things we would do, the things we still think we're going to do. We don't actually – it's not that we act it out, because there's a point where we're not acting it out, but it still comes to our mind and we have to catch ourselves. And that's the Holy Spirit living within us. And that's the mark of our repentance, that we catch ourselves on what we shouldn't do, what we shouldn't say. Sometimes we have to hold our peace and let God guide and direct us until we get to the point where, you know, God has complete control over us. We talked about this in a couple discussions before. What is our default when stuff goes wrong? Because we knew what our default was before we were saved, but now is our default Christ and the love of God and the humility of God and the patience of God and the compassion of God. So that when things that happen to us or we go through some things that our default is what would, you know, that old thing, what would Jesus do? Are we now in that place where we can assure that we are sure of our salvation and now we can guide someone else into their repentance and just encourage them and give a clear definition and understanding of what it means? Because it talked about it in the book. I want to find it, but I'm going to come back to you, brother. What are you thinking? I want to find a section of the book I'm going to read, but while I'm doing that, what are you saying when we're talking about encouraging our brothers in Christ in repentance?
Amen. Well, you know, I really like what you said. You know, you alluded to it. It's like we water down salvation, that you can receive salvation but still live the way you used to live. Your salvation comes when you make a decision to change who you were or who you aspired to be, that you want to do something different, that you don't want to succumb to the ways of the world. You don't want to follow the ways of the enemy, that you want to do something different. Not to say that you won't fall short. Salvation doesn't mean that you won't mess up, that you won't make a mistake. But salvation comes after you've given up, after you've reached a mindset that you desire to be different. In your desire, there can still be a problem. There can still be an issue. You can still mess up. It's, once again, we say it all the time, even a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. So you can mess up. You can make a mistake. But your desire shouldn't be to live the old way. Your desire should be, when you talk about salvation, when you present, when you give, when you're introducing that friend to salvation, you need to not water it down and let them think that they can just continue to be in the mindset that they're in, that they can continue to live the ways of the world and think that that means because they said they believe in God that they receive salvation. There has to be a level of repentance. There has to be a mindset, a mind reset, a mind change, a deliberate mind change, a deliberate desire to do different than what you were, to be different. And I think sometimes, and I'm going to speak for myself, sometimes I may not have given that level of repentance. Like, this book kind of checked me a little bit on how I speak and how I talk to those who I know aren't saved. That, you know, we offer salvation, but are we showing, and are we really, well, that we're speaking to our friends, to our brothers, to those that we meet in the street, that there is a need that you ask for forgiveness, that you turn away. Like, we have to turn away from sin and iniquity. We have to turn away from the things that we would have, just like Deke said, the default decisions. We have to turn away from that thought where now when somebody says something, it used to be when somebody says something to you, your first thought was the fight. But now your thought should be something different. Your thought shouldn't be, I'm going to be the rah, rah, rah. I've got to be the one that's ready to throw blows because somebody said something I don't like. Now, can we talk about this? Can we find a way to work this out? Can we go from a different place? Do I have the strength to turn the other cheek when somebody says something to me that I don't like? Do I have the gentleness, do I have the fruit of the Spirit, the gentleness within me to allow it to roll off my back, for me to not take offense off of it, and me to allow someone else to, for me to forgive someone else because God has forgiven me for my sins. God has forgiven me for my trespasses against him, for the very things that I did that I knew, that I know aren't of him, that I know that he doesn't desire for me to do. God forgave me, so I have to be in a place to forgive somebody else. But part of our repentance, gentlemen, is just doing something different than what we have done for so long. You know, so many of us were dealing with drugs or alcohol or pornography or, I mean, whatever the case may be. But when we turn away from that, that is the introduction to our salvation, that we're turning away from it and then committing to God to say, God, I believe in you. Because I believe in you, I want to be different. I'm asking for your forgiveness for my old ways and asking you to walk me into a new me. Walk me into a me that's celebrating who you are and whose I am, that I belong to you, that you are in charge of my life, that you are the one that has the control, and you are the one that I lean upon. You are the understanding that I recognize, that I believe in. I don't have to trust my old thinking. I don't have to trust the ways of the world, but I lean totally upon you. Back to you, my brother.
Amen, brother. Amen. And, you know, brothers, it's something I found the part I wanted to share with you, for those who may not have the book or didn't go out and purchase it yet. But I just want to share something that the author wrote in the book when we're talking about this. I guess it means the page just fell apart on me. All right, here we go. It's on page, there it goes. On page 155, chapter 6 of 7 Friendships Every Man Needs. Amen? And I just wanted to read some of this, because, again, we're talking about Zacchaeus, which the story of Zacchaeus is told in Luke chapter 19. And it says, Zacchaeus showed evidence of his true salvation. This is critical to remember when we think about our friends. Repentance is necessary for salvation. It is a change of mind that results in a change of life. It puts off old attitudes and actions and replaces them with righteousness. God would God would want. It is complete, excuse me, it is a complete disowning of self and a life committed to follow Christ as Lord of all. The gospel is an exchange of all that I am for all that he is. With no repentance, there is no salvation. Amen? And then it's, and then on page 156 it says, I got to get this book worked out here. All right, but it says also, it says repentance is not something to add after salvation. It is something that happens or salvation hasn't happened. And that's the thing we have to focus on, too. Because when it comes to, we all know, we have people tell us that, don't judge me, you don't know me, God knows my heart. And all that, the answer to that is, yes, God knows your heart. And it's not that I'm judging you. I'm holding you accountable to what you say that you are. If you confess to be a Christian, confess to be a man of God, now I hold you accountable to that standard. And then we have to understand, too, when we're sharing with people, that everyone, it doesn't matter what, if they haven't done all the things, womanized, alcohol, drug abuse, stolen, thieving, lying, there's a lot out there. For someone who tells you they don't do all that, that's fine. But yet they were still born in sin and iniquity, and they still are going to end up in hell because they rejected the Son of God. The rejection of Jesus Christ is a sin that will send you to hell. You could think you don't need Christ, you haven't done all the things, but remember that every human being was born in sin, and Christ came to redeem all mankind. It's not about what you did, that we already were born in sin. And that's part of the gospel, too, that we need to tell folk. It don't matter how wonderful you are. It don't matter how good, who your family is. Every man has to stand and accept Jesus Christ. And also to know, for the brothers, let me say this to you also. We are called to live our lives to the glory of God. It's as simple as that. And the only way we can do that is through repentance. So just to understand that repentance is something that even your sinful friend, this is when we know they've moved from death unto life because of a changed life. We just have to let that sit in, because there's nothing more I can say to emphasize more. Unless we have a changed life, you may not be saved and in good standing with God. You may still be his enemy and think you his friend, and you are not. Amen? Elder Larry, I see you on the line, sir. Can you hear me? Are you there? Oh, hey, good morning, brother. How you doing?
God bless, man. I'm here.
Amen, amen. You want to share anything? I see you there. I just want to give you opportunity to chime in.
Sure. One of the things I was looking at is the scriptures that were listed under the comment that you just made in the book. And one of the things it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you to do, Luke 6:46. One of the things that we have to realize is that we have to stop watering down God's word to the point where it becomes all-inclusive and not the standard that God has set. The Bible is there, and the words are explicit that of the things that we have to do to follow Christ. And sometimes because there are friends, they're our brothers. We don't want to be as harsh as the word says it is. But sometimes you have to hold a brother accountable. We always talk about accountability partners and having brothers that'll hold us to a standard. But then we sometimes become lax in holding that standard ourselves. So we have to make sure that we're holding that standard and holding those brothers accountable for the things that they do. And not, you know, we use the word things like, you know, God knows your heart or God knows my heart. No, this is what the Bible says. This is what we have to do. And you have to begin to hold brothers accountable for the things that they say, for the things that you do, because if they are not following God's word, if they're not following God's principles, then salvation didn't happen. If even in our own Christian lives, if we fall away from doing what God says and doing what God has us to do. The Bible says in Revelation 2:5 that it says, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do your first works. That means that we got to go back and repent ourselves. And so, and most of the times we get so lax in not calling our own selves on the carpet that we forget to call our brothers on the carpet. And we lose that credibility in their lives. Remember, you're the example. Remember, you're the epistle that they're reading. You're the letter. You're the Bible that they're seeing. And sometimes they're going to do or mirror what you are. Remember, we reproduce after our own kind. So if we're messing up and not doing our first work over again and not repenting and not turning away, and again, that word repentance not, is not just asking for forgiveness, but it's also a turning our back on the things that we used to do or the sin that we used to commit. If we're not turning our back on that sin, if we are continually entertaining it and it's working in our lives, then we're not holding the standard either. I say this all the time, man. Sin makes a coward out of all of us. And if we don't stand, then we fall every time. So we have to make sure that we are holding the line. We are doing the things that are necessary. We are repenting as well so that when we set the example, they are able to follow the example because they see it monitored or lived in us. What do you think, sir?
Amen. That's absolutely correct, sir. And I pray that, you know, again, men, brothers that are listening in, if you called in, if you listened to the link on from the Facebook page, this is what it's all about. Here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, this is what it's about, men's ministry. This is why we encourage men's ministry, a gathering of men when men come together and reason these things out and work out the application of Scripture and apply it and get the understanding that we will live lives. Again, our call is to live life glorifying to Him and knowing that He is our Lord and that He can use us. That's the thing we have to remember for every man that's out there. God has a purpose and a plan and wants to use us for a purpose and a plan. And the thing that I like in this chapter is talking specifically about reaching the lost or the unsaved friend. How is that going to happen? How do we have a strategy? Are we thinking about that? Are we praying about that, that God's going to use us again? Look at all the men that God used in the Bible. You know, if we look back through Scripture, even in the Old Testament, the men that God used, Jesus was the only perfect one. We have to remember that. All the men that God used, Jesus was the only perfect one. So we don't have to get it all right all the time for God to use us. But God still is going to hold us and give us standard for our life. That's why we have to be in the Word. We have to submit to the Word. We have to submit to the Holy Spirit. And then God's going to use us. And again, we're not going to reach perfection here on this body and on earth. But just as God used Peter, He used Paul, He used Noah, He used Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He used Moses. All them brothers had felonies, but God still used them. Amen? So knowing, what God can do in a man. David is my favorite one because God says David was a man after his own heart, but David was so jacked up, it messed up his kids, his sons. If you read the story about what went on because of David's disobedience, but yet God used him. So God can use us in this time, in this age, until He comes back. In this culture, we can be that salt and light that's talked about, and this is how we activate it, and this is how we encourage, and then this is how we encourage those around us. Because like you say, like I said before, and I always say, you know, there's a soul that's only going to hear the gospel from you. You're not going to hear the gospel from everybody on TV and your pastor and all the great teachers out there and theologians. It's going to be you that's going to reach their heart. They'll hear your voice, and that will save their soul and come into the knowledge of God. Amen. Amen. Well, brothers, I'm going to go real quickly. I'm going to wrap up chapter 6 here, but I do want to touch on a couple things. And for those brothers who do have the book out there, real quick, we're going to go over some of the takeaways. Go to page 158, and it says important takeaways to remember from this chapter. I want to go down the list here, brothers, and then I want to come to each of you, and y'all can pick one that you want to expound a little bit on. And then for the brothers who have the book in your own, just ask you could take the opportunity to read it. At the end of each chapter, there's little quizzes, tests, and some questions to get to help for a deeper understanding, to examine yourself about. Because remember, as you read this book is a mirror to look at yourself and look what the Word is saying and look where we are with that. Because remember, these are seven friendships every man needs. So these are seven friendships that you need, and you have to see. You look around. Do you have these seven kinds of friends in your life right now? Amen? So I'm going to 158, and it says, the first one, it says, in the beginning of the book, it says, your list of friends should include those who do not yet know the Lord. We all have unsaved friends in our life. Number two, we must never let ourselves be so Christian that we lose contact with the non-Christian world. Number three, reaching the lost is more to do with the heart than strategy. Get Christ's heart for the lost, and the strategy will follow naturally. Implement the strategy without the heart, and it will not bear fruit. Amen. Oh, man, that's a good one. I might use that one. But anyway, everyone in the world is exactly where God wants them, because he is orchestrating their lives to come under the hearing of the gospel, and he has put you in proximity to them for that purpose. Today is the day of salvation. We cannot let our hearts grow cold with the realities of eternal punishment that awaits those who have not yet trusted Christ. The next one, stepping into others' lives can be messy and risky, but that cannot stop us from extending the grace that has been extended to us. And the last one, be sure that you don't hold back assurance for those who truly repent, but at the same time, don't give false assurance to those who did not repent. Elder Mark, I'm going to start with you, and then Elder Larry, which one of those you want to emphasize for the brothers right now?
Amen. For me, it's everyone in the world is exactly where God wants them to be, because he's orchestrating their lives to come under their heart, under the hearing of the gospel, and he has put you in proximity for that purpose. You know, we said it, and it's said over and over again, there's somebody out there that will only hear the gospel from you, and that's why they're in your life. There's a brother or a friend out there, and a one who will only see the Bible through you, and they need you. But we have to be an example, and we can't be watered down like Pastor Larry said. Or Larry said, we can't be watered down. We can't water down the gospel. We have to give the explicit truth of what the gospel says, what it calls for as men, what we're called to do, who we're called to be, what it means to be a servant of God, what it means to repent so that we can receive salvation. But you have the opportunity to be that example. But I say to you, don't water it down. Give it as it is written. Give the Holy Writ as it is written, so that someone can be saved, someone can have a different life. You don't want their blood to be on your hands, because if you gave them something watered down and didn't give them the truth, you don't want them to die because of a lie. If they don't receive what they're supposed to from you, and you are the one that set forth, you are the one that God has purposed to be the one that would plant that seed, if you don't do so, if that seed is never planted, God may not have the opportunity to water it in the necessity that it needs to be done so. Like, for me, one of my best friends, I think I'm thinking about it deeper and deeper, one of my best friends who I know has not reached a place of salvation. He still is committed to ways of the world. But as I talk to him each and every day, I recognize that I can't water down the necessity for his repentance that he'll come to salvation. And if I continue or do water it down, then his blood is on my hands, and I don't want to be in that place. So, brothers, I implore you, when you meet that brother, when you know that brother, reach out, share the gospel in its truth and its entirety, share salvation as a share salvation as it requires repentance to receive salvation, and be the example there in your life for that reason, for that purpose. Back to you, my brother.
Amen. Elder Larry, what do you say, sir?
The one I want to emphasize is the one that says stepping into others' lives can be messy and risky, but that cannot stop us from extending out the grace that God has been extended to us. We have to, I've used this term before, we have to remember, brothers, that we can't be so heavenly bound that we're no earthly good. And that means that we get caught up in our own lives, caught up in our own issues, and we say to ourselves, who am I to tell somebody else how to live? Who am I to tell somebody else that they're doing wrong or they're not going in the right direction? Well, it takes a heart. It takes love. It takes all of that to step into a brother's life and say, man, listen, you're living wrong or you're living foul or there is another way. And in doing that, you now tell that brother that I am here for you. The Bible says that Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, come down because I'm coming to your house. He addressed him specifically. He says, I see you. I know what you're doing. I know what you're going through. I know your limitations and your challenges. I know everything that's happening, but I'm coming to your house. That means I'm in your life. I'm here. I'm here to help. I'm here to do whatever needs to be done. Yes, I know your past. Yes, I know my past. And we have to be able to put those things aside and let's now strive for a common goal. We have to make sure that their issues, our issues don't become their issues, that we become so afraid of all the stuff that we are doing or not doing that we refuse to step into their lives to help them with the things that they are doing or not doing. So it's about pouring into somebody. It's about being selfless and not selfish. It's about being able to speak into somebody else's life and not hold all the word that God has given you, all the grace and forgiveness that God has given to you, to yourself, and not extending it to somebody else. There's somebody else that needs it. There's somebody else that wants it, because Zacchaeus was looking to see Jesus. He just had a whole bunch of flesh. He had a whole bunch of people in front of him that could not let him see it. So we have to be able to step into that mess, be able to speak to that mess, and then be able to guide them out of that mess and show them that God loves them, God forgives them, and that there's grace and mercy for everything that goes on in their life. Peek, what do you think?
Amen, gentlemen. Amen. You know, I appreciate both of y'all for those. Because, you know, I pray the brothers have heard the passion and heard the compassion of what we're trying to share. And, again, I hope it stirs something up in each man that's listening, who's called in here at Issue Scripture Minutes Talk. But this is what we're called to do. We're called to encourage one another and stir up the Spirit of God that's within each of us, that we can be able to check ourselves and be sure that we are of the faith, that we're living as Christ would want us to live, and we're doing the labor of love, those good works that's spoken of in Scripture. These are those good works, that we are willing to show love and compassion one to another. Amen? Amen. So what we're going to I'm going to shift gears here, brothers, because again we're going from the book Seven Friendships Every Man Needs, and we're going to move to chapter number 7. Now chapter number 7 it talks it covers a lot, but I encourage every brother out there who has the book to dive into chapter 7. We're going to touch upon it here, and but I encourage you to go in and read the chapter. It says, a need for a gracious Savior to befriend you, chapter 7. But I want to go to page 171, and it says, what friendship with Jesus looks like. And I want to read a little passage from the book, then I'm going to come to you brothers real quick, and we're just going to touch on a few scriptures here and just give the brothers a little tidbit of it, and we're going to dive into it in coming weeks as we're going to continue to go into a preview of this book. Amen. So it says on page 171, it says, invitation. the Savior and his love. And we have to understand that our friendship and love is measured by the depth of our sacrifice. So if we consider what Christ has done for us and what he sacrificed because he loved us, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And Jesus Christ came knowing his purpose and was willing to give his life for the purpose of God and live obedient and to fulfill that. And he knew that. I said this before, and I just want to remind everybody, as we're dealing with this Christmas season, that we are, you know, it's the baby that's born is a man that would die for our sins. So we have to take, sometimes we have to step back and not take a lot of things for granted. You know, for me, I'm almost 60-something. What am I, 60-something? I'm over 60. And all these Christmases, somewhere in there, you know, we start to take Christmas season for granted. It's days off. It's Christmas presents. It's all these things. We want to, you know, look after the kids and the grandkids, and we do a lot of things, even interviewing in the body of Christ. We're getting Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas dinners for folk. We're helping the less fortunate. We're doing all these things. But are we remembering that God came and was incarnated into a human being to die for our sins, to redeem our souls? And I think we sometimes skip over that, but we have to sometimes come back to that and understand that there was a sacrifice that was made. And then in that, God calls our sacrifice. If we love him, if we are a friend of God, because we know he's a friend of sinners, but if we're a friend of God, that we are live obedient to him. I have a couple of scriptures I want to read real quick, brothers, and I'm going to come to y'all for your thoughts on this. John 14 and 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14, 21. Whosoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. John 14, 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. John 15, 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And lastly, John 16, 27. The Father himself loves you because he loved me and I have believed that I've come from God. And all of that, who loves us? Who is a Savior? Who do we love our Savior enough to obey him, to submit to him? Amen? Brother Mark, I'm going to come to you first, bro. What do you say?
Man, when I just looking through those scriptures, I'm looking at the book with you. I just see sacrifice. You know, our fleshly desire is to live our own way and not to submit unto God, not to submit unto the Savior, not to submit to the word, not to live by the commandments, to do something different, to service ourselves. But in a friendship with Christ, we're believing in him and we're sacrificing those fleshly desires to live to be what he would call us to be, and that's where we receive that relationship. That's where we are befriended by him. That's where we are receiving the covenant that he has promised us, the love that he promised us, the eternal love that he promised us comes from our sacrifice to believe in him, to trust him, to allow him to be, once again, the controlling factor in our life, the direction, the guiding force. When we stop leaning upon the ways of our fleshly desires, the ways of the world, we start to really just trust God, to lean on God. When we sacrifice those desires, we become friends of Christ. We become we are in a relationship with him. We are in just a place to receive all that he has. I mean, the promises of God are yea and amen. He'll answer all of our prayers, answer all of our situations, but there is a requirement for us that we would follow his command, and that requires us to sacrifice. So, once again, I just see the word sacrifice jumping out from all of these scriptures, because it is a sacrifice to live different, to do something different. Our flesh wants us to be to just continue to sin. It doesn't want us to serve God. But we stand strong when our spirit man is increased each and every day, when we grow stronger in our faith, we lean upon God, we follow his command, and we are befriended by Christ. Back to you, sir.
Amen. Pastor Watkins, what do you say, sir?
One of the things the Bible says is that to have a friend, we must show ourselves friendly. We use that scripture all the time when it comes to other brothers. But what greater example is there of a friend than what Jesus did for us and what Jesus constantly does for us? In while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What greater example of a friend giving his life for a friend? And I may be redundant in saying this because of what we just talked about, but he looked into our lives. He looked into our mess, and he didn't think it was our lives were too messy for him to give his life for us. He looked at Mark. He looked at Larry. He looked at Thomas. He looked at all the other others and said, you know what? I can clean them up. I can help them. I can restore the bridge back to them again that goes back to the Father so that there's now a connection. I can sit at the right hand and ask for forgiveness for them. What better friend is that? What better friend is there that shows love to us than the example that Jesus Christ did and Jesus Christ gave? And my goal in life, and I don't know if it's any other brothers, is to be as good a friend, as good as Christ is to us. He's our example. And we should be living our lives to show that we are examples of Christ. And how do we do that? The Bible says, by this shall men know that you are my disciples, that you show love one for another. But to have Jesus as your friend, we used to sing a song in church a long time ago, man, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. All of these things are great because he doesn't look at us as peons. He doesn't look at us as his servants. He looks at us like we are his brother. We're standing right beside him, that we are in this together, that we're going to strive together, we're going to work together, and we're going to do this thing together. That's a friend. You know, one of my favorite artists was Prince. And Prince said, he didn't like the word the word fan, because the word fan meant fanatic. It was from fanatic. And he said, I would rather call you my friends, because then I know that you're not here just because you're fanatical about me, or that you're just so over the top, but you're in here because you love me, you love my music, and you love this. Jesus called us friends because he didn't want us to think that we were servants, that we were just all of this, but he wanted us to know that he's right in there with us in the mess, walking through the mess to take us out of the mess. And that's the best example of friendship you could ever have. What do you think, sir?
Amen, brother. Amen. You know, I like that. That because, you know, that's something we all have to consider. I mean, I think we grow from being fans of Jesus Christ because, again, the way – I'm not going to say the church. I'm just going to say the culture and the mindset of the sinner man, the mindset of the believer. Being a fan of Christ, liking to come into church, liking to come to get dressed up. You know, you're a fan of Sunday service. You're a fan of the praise team. You're a fan of the choir. You're a fan of the preaching. But we have to move from fandom to friendship, to servant, to the place where, you know, God is speaking to our life, to a place of submission, to where we take the word. We're not a fan of the word, because we can study the word intellectually, but are we reading and studying the word spiritually that change us? We talked about in the last segment about repentance. Repentance comes from reading and hearing the word of God and understanding we are in need of a Savior. Not just the stories, just not the stories and the cliches and the scriptures that we memorize. Do we understand that the Bible is telling us that we're in need of a Savior, and without him, we're destined to the wrath of God as an eternity of punishment? And that's where the gospel is preaching. That's what the gospel is all about. And that's what we have to get past. I like that you said that about the being a fan, because a lot of the church, they're fans of Christ. Some of us were fans of Christ, and we grew out of our fandom and became servants, became friends of God, became what God has called us to be. But again, the brothers around us, where are they? You know, how do we encourage each other to move and grow in Christ? And that's the thing I wanted to come on as we get ready to close. I wanted to speak about what we're doing at Issues Christian Men's Talk and at men's ministry and in men's fellowships. We have to remember that we're there to encourage one another, to hold each other accountable, to help each other grow, and sometimes even to rebuke one another. Because it's not that we're there to compare ourselves to see who's more spiritual, who's more intellectual, who's more talented. All these gifts and talents, we want to, you know, we use our gifts and talents to think that we, that God has moved in our lives and we're this and that. That's not what ministry has ever been called for, and definitely not what men's ministry is called for. But I want to just encourage, and what we're doing as we are growing, to encourage one another and grow in Christ. Because as I always say, it's Christian Men's Talk, and we say it at our Man Up events and men's ministry, we can do more together than we can separately, and that we have more in common than we are different in all this walk of life. And just because some of us are mature and we can help someone through the difficulties, because remember, God is not necessarily going to deliver you from everything, but he's going to deliver you through some things. That's a difference. There's a difference between being delivered from something and to be delivered through something, and that now I can take another man's hand and help him walk through that thing. Amen? So again, brothers, I just want to continue to encourage everyone, encourage those out there who are living a life, living a life, obedient to God, living a righteous life, and that you still want to be a man of God. Remember, the whole purpose that we have for men's ministry and a ministry to men and for Issues Christian Men's Talk is to encourage, challenge, support, and hold each other accountable. Amen? So, brothers, again, I thank everyone for listening. I thank you, brothers, for joining me today for this segment and this episode. And as always, we're going to continue. Remember, we are live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., you call in to 646-668-2636, and we encourage you to be part of the discussion and part of the program. Again, we've been reading, and we're going to continue to read and go through the 7 friendships every man needs, and we're going to continue to dive into that and bring these topics and discussions to you for the next couple of episodes. Also, what did I say? Oh, save the date. January 14th. January 14th is going to be our next men's gathering. We're planning. The planning's in the works. And we're going to be gathering again. We're working on the details now. So after the holidays, we're going to have it right after Christmas Day, so when everybody get their attention back, then we'll have the details and we'll start sharing it. We'll have a flyer done. And we encourage you to come out and join us for that in-person time of fellowship. I can say right now, the only thing that will hinder us will be a blizzard. And it has to be more than 3 inches. 3 inches or less, we still have in the event. Amen? That's something for you brothers here in Maryland. Amen. Amen. But again, January the 14th, 2023, we're planning to have another in-person men's event, so we pray you can put it on your calendar now, block it off, and you'd be able to join us in person. Brothers, again, I just wanted to thank you. I'm going to come to you, Elder Larry, you can give your closing comments, and then Elder Mark, you can give your closing comments, and then give us a closing prayer. And again, brother, I appreciate you, love you, and I pray the blessings over you and your family, and continue to press in and press on in the things of God in your life. Elder Larry.
Yeah, I one of the things I saw in this chapter is the scripture where it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love, and if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That word abide captured me because it means to live in, to exist in, to remain in. And we have to remember that we have to remain in the love of God. And in loving God, we have to also love our brothers. Again, shall men know you're my disciples because we show love one for another. That's been my soapbox for a long time, that we show love one to another, because love is the only thing that's going to turn this world around. Love is the only thing that's going to mend friendships. Love is the only thing that's going to save brothers if we show love. It's not by bashing them over the head with the word. It's not by trying to dress up in suits and sit in a congregation full of people and bless God. No, it's by showing love one for another that we begin to reach out, that we begin to help other brothers, that we begin to speak into the lives of other brothers. It's only by love that we are going to change this world. And unless we start loving one another and exhibiting that love and abiding, living, existing in that love, that we're going to be able to make a difference in this world. So, my brothers, I encourage you, love your brothers, love one another, love your wives, love your children, love everyone, because love is truly the answer, for God is love. And if we don't love, then we're not actually allowing God to be God. Thank you, Deke. Thank you, Elder. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, my brother. Always a pleasure. Deke, as you said, man, God bless you. Pastor Larry, God bless you both. Love you both. Appreciate you. This opportunity to just discuss this book has been awesome. These last couple of episodes and our next upcoming episodes discussing the seven friendships every man needs has just helped me to really dive deep into understanding who I'm walking with, why I should be walking with them, and my continued need for the people that I have in my life, for the brothers that I have, for the friends that I have, those churched and unchurched. I just implore you, brothers, that as you grow in Christ, you continue to grow in these friendships. So as Pastor Larry shared, we can continue to show the love that will change this world. Love is, once again, the only way to make a change. Love is the only way to approach someone in their situation. We can't go into something telling them who they are and what they aren't, but show them who we are and whose we are together. We are God's children together. We belong to him. He belongs to us. We have a friend in Jesus. We have all that we need when we lean upon him and not that of our own understanding. And I just implore you, men, I implore you, those are listening, those are in the archive, just continue to reach out for these friendships. Continue to reach out to do something different than what the world says you would be or aren't or can't be, because you are children of God and have the power of God within you to change this world, to be something different, to be who he has called us to be. So we stand strong with one another, building one another, pushing one another, supporting one another, being one another's friends and brothers. Father God, we honor you. We bless you. We thank you, Lord God, for yet another opportunity, Lord God, to discuss you, Lord God, to learn more about you and thus of ourselves, to continue to empower our fellow brothers, to empower our sisters, to just share words of encouragement, Lord God, that would help us to get through the very struggles of life, that we know we can lean upon you, that you are our anchor in the midst of the storm, Lord God, so we say thank you. Thank you for taking us through the trials, the tribulations, and the blessings, because it is the reason that we have a testimony of your greatness. So we thank you. We lift a hallelujah praise unto your holy magnificent name, as you are God and God alone. We honor you and bless you and praise your name, your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brothers.